Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Well, amen. Who needs one of these Bible studies? If you need one, if you'll raise your hand, then they will bring you one. And just, they're coming. They're just getting the back first. We're so glad that you're here tonight. Open up your Bibles to the book of Proverbs. We're going to study about the wisdom of God tonight, and this is one of my favorite books of the Bible, and I want us to have prayer together before we get right into it, but I wanted to reiterate what Brother Chris said about next Sunday night. So next Sunday night, church family, we're at the BCM. Does everybody understand that? I know that's different. I'm getting some woo-hoos and everything, so that's good. And next door to the BCM is a parking lot that we have engaged and reserved, and I think it'll be great for our church family. I'm hoping that we'll have everyone that's here tonight, as well as some others from our morning service, and then a bunch of our college students there. It's going to be an awesome time. Some of y'all just have... You've been in this town for a long time. You need to go over and eyeball that university campus. And we're going to worship the Lord over there together. It's going to be a great time and a fellowship, and it'll be something unique and different. And really, I want us to be in prayer for our university and for Santa Fe College as well, that God would use us to be a blessing to them. So I wanted to make sure you knew about that. The other thing I wanted to tell you is I am so excited about our kids being here tonight. They have launched the new year of the children's choirs, and these kids will be singing for us in the weeks ahead at different times. But they have special notes that they use. And so anyway, they have a special pastor's page or neat things that they do, and they draw pictures on there. They draw pictures of me. They're pretty good, too. They do a decent job. But anyway, it's exciting to me. I love these kids, and I love them being here learning about God's Word. So I wanted you to know that. By the way, whenever the service is over, a lot of times I'll sit right down here. Then we'll set up a little different than we normally are. It'll be back to normal, I think, next week. But anyway, I like this, by the way. But I normally sit right here afterwards, and they bring me their notes. And if they've been involved in choir and they have taken notes on the sermon, some serious prizes are dished out from the pastor. I just want you to know that. And the pastor has been known to slip a couple of special prizes for himself, too, in the midst of all of it, and even for others. So I just want you to know that that's part of what we're doing. We just love the opportunity. Think about our children. We have a fabulous children's church that we do on three of the four Sunday mornings of the month. This morning, the children were in with us in the service, and so it was the second Sunday of the month. But this Sunday night gives them an opportunity to learn even more about what it means to worship with the church family and to take notes and to be involved in the Bible study. So that's one of the things we do. Now, I'd like for us to have prayer. Michael Prevett told me just a few moments ago during the welcome time that, of course, he has the inside track on what's happening in the world through his job, but he was telling me that there's a very bad accident on I-75, and they up by Alachua, and he said, could we pray for the people there? There's some very serious injuries that are happening there. So I want us to pray for our service, and let's pray for these others that are in trouble right now. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much, and we praise you and thank you that we can study your word together, that we can be together tonight, we can worship you. Thank you, Lord, that you're our King, and we thank you that we can sing those words and they can be meaningful in our heart because you, Jesus, are our King. You've changed our life. You love us. You've given us your word. And I just ask you, Lord, that you would lead us as we study the scripture tonight. In these brief moments together, thank you for these precious children, and thank you for their families. Thank you for all of our folks that are here And I just pray you would just knit our hearts together as we serve you and as we love you and as we learn about you tonight. Thank you for this time. And Lord, I pray that you would be with those that have been in this accident. I ask your presence and power to be upon those lives. Lord, I pray that you would bless the first responders that are helping keep everyone safe. And I pray that they would be able, the medical people would be able to help those that are injured and give wisdom and guidance to them as well. So, Lord, we commit that situation to you and pray your very best upon each of those people and your protection. Send people to meet those needs. We love you tonight, Lord. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. By the way, he told me there were two helicopters that flew over. I don't know if you heard it, but they were flying over to go to the hospital. They say that Genghis Khan had a falcon. He had a bird that has anybody in here ever done falconry? Anybody in here? I've never known anybody that's done falconry. Robert, if there's anybody that maybe has done something like that, it'd be you. Have you ever tried it? Have you ever had a falcon land on your arm without the glove on? I mean, you know. Okay, almost. There you go. My closest thing with falconry was in our backyard. There was a falcon that landed, that was down there walking around, and it didn't fly away when I went outside. And so I would go out there, and it just fell over. And there's something wrong with that falcon, Kelly, I told her. And so I called Matthew Cheshire. I said, Matthew, you know how to handle animals. What do I do? He came over there with a big glove, and he went and he got a hold of that falcon and took it to the veterinary school, and they determined that it had swallowed some fertilizer or something, and it was very sick, and it was falling over. So that was the closest that I've ever come to falconry. But anyway, you see these people with these falcons, and it's amazing what they can do. They would use them in Khan's day in warfare. Well, he was coming across a mountain range, and it was very, very hot, and he was thirsty, and so he saw a dripping little bit of water coming over a ledge. He said, oh, I've got water, and so he pulled his horse up there. He reached into his bag, and he grabbed a little cup. And he put the cup under that. It was just trickling out of there. And so he was waiting until it filled up enough that he could get a sip of water. And so he got it partially filled up. And he said, I can't wait any longer. And he brought it to his cup. And all of a sudden, here his falcon, boom, knocked the thing out of his hand. And he said, what in the world are you doing? And he got off his horse. He got back up. He said, I don't know why he did that. And so he reached it under there again, and he was about to bring it to his lips, and all of a sudden his falcon, boom, knocked it out. He said, I'll get you. He pulled out his dagger. He had a dagger, and he filled up his cup again, thinking, if you come by here again, you're going to get something you weren't expecting. And so he filled it up, this time not quite as much, and when he brought it to his lips, once again, here comes this falcon, but he was ready, and he took his dagger, stabbed his falcon. The cup went away, and his falcon lay dead. He said, I'm going to show that falcon. I'm going to crawl up there to the pool of it and get me a big sip. So he pulled up, he climbed up the little ledge, and he got to the top, and he pulled himself up. And he looked in there, and there was a dead poisonous snake in that pool of water that had poisoned that pool of water. Sometimes we don't have the perspective that God has. That falcon knew that if his master drank of that water, that his master would die. And yet, sometimes God brings circumstances in our life and we're mad at him because these circumstances come, but we don't have the right perspective. Wisdom is seeing life and living life from God's point of view. It's all about perspective. It's all about living by wisdom. Now, in James chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach. So we can ask for wisdom is the first blank. Wisdom is the second blank there under number 1, and we define it, and we define it this way. The word chokmah is the Hebrew word for wisdom in the Old Testament. It often refers to the mental and physical skills of craftsmen, sailors, singers, mourners, administrators, counselors, and others. But other times, as in Proverbs, it focuses on the application of moral and ethical principles that result in skillful, godly living. A person with this wisdom has expertise in godly living. When I got saved as a teenage boy, they taught us to read the proverb of the day. There are 31 proverbs, and most of the months, often there are 31 days in a month, so you can read a proverb a day. So every month you read the whole book of Proverbs. And if you do that, you'll find over time that you'll gain wisdom in making decisions, because the truths of the book of Proverbs will help you. They'll help you with wisdom. You'll become skillful. You'll become an expert in godly living, or at least more, you'll have more expertise in godly living. Now, in Proverbs chapter 8, we're going to look mostly at Proverbs 1, but we are going to, at the beginning here, just look around. In Proverbs chapter 8, I want you to find that, Proverbs chapter 8, verse 11. The scripture says this, "For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things one may desire cannot compare to her," or to wisdom. You think you want a certain thing, and yet the Bible teaches us that if you have God's wisdom, you have something more precious than anything you could ever desire. Proverbs 16:16 tells us, number 3, it is more valuable than gold or silver. In Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 13, let's look at that one. Proverbs 3:13, it says, "Happy is the man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding." When I worked with teenagers, there was an article, a big study actually, that came out in Parade magazine. They even have Parade magazine anymore in the Sunday paper. Anyway, Parade magazine was a supplement in the Sunday paper. They had a big study on teenagers, and they asked them, and they had a series of questions that they surveyed them on, and they asked them, what is it you really want in life? And it all boiled down to they wanted to be happy. Well, the scripture teaches us that wisdom, living life by God's point of view, brings happiness. If you may think that the Lord is trying to limit you if you live by his ways, but actually what he's doing is he made you, he created you, he knows more about you than anyone else. And if you live by his wisdom, you'll be the happiest you could ever be in your life. Number 5, wisdom primarily helps the young. Primarily helps the young. Proverbs was written primarily to help the young, but it also is good for the experienced. Now, go back to Proverbs chapter 1, and I want to read Proverbs 1, 1 through 7, okay? Proverbs 1, 1 through 7. Let me read that. You follow along. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles." Verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." We'll stop with that verse right there. So, on number 5 in our listening guide, it's primarily for the young, but it's also for the experienced. It says to the young in verse 4, to give prudence to the simple. The word prudence is the ability to govern. The ability to govern. One of the reasons I love that these young people are in here is because hopefully we can build some precepts upon precepts, and they can learn prudence, biblical prudence, which means the ability to govern their lives. When someone is simple, it says in verse 4, it says to give prudence to the simple. That word simple really means to the inexperienced or the untaught, someone who doesn't have experience. Now, that can even be an older person if they're inexperienced in living life from God's point of view. But God has given us wisdom in order to give the simple or the inexperienced prudence, the ability to govern their life. And then in verse 4, it says to the young man. It says, the young man, knowledge and discretion. And the young man there is really the picture of a child or a youth. So the book of Proverbs was written for them, for a child or for a youth, and to give them knowledge and discretion, the Bible says. That means wise, and here's the blank, wise planning. Wise planning. So young people need God's word in order to be able to plan and think about their life in the future. And so that's very, very important. The book of Proverbs was written for that reason. But then also the wise man in verse 5, it's not just for the simple, it's not just for the young man, but it's for the wise. Because in verse 5 it says, a wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. Where it says that increase learning, you see that in verse 5, the first part of verse 5, they will increase learning. That is a concept like the steering of a ship. The blank there is the word steering, like the steering of a ship. You think about an older person who is an adult, not a young person, not a simple one, but an older person. Many times there are those under their care that are on their ship, so to speak. They're involved in their life. And as a result of them steering that ship, it affects others. And so, you know, none of us have arrived. We've not arrived. We need the wisdom from God. And so the book of Proverbs was written for the simple, it's written for the young man, but it's also written for the wise. Number 6, God gives insight to hard questions. If you want to look back, you can. 1 Kings chapter 10, verse 1. In 1 Kings chapter 10, there is the same word is used here that is used in verse 6. To understand a proverb and an enigma and the words of the wise and their riddles. That's the word, hard questions. All right? And you see in verse 1 of 1 Kings chapter 10, now when the queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. We have all over the Bible those that face tough questions. We have many examples that Solomon had some tough things that he had to deal with, and God gave him wisdom. And so the wisdom that we receive from the book of Proverbs, the wisdom that we receive from God, gives us insight into hard questions. You know what I love about the Bible, and I don't want to deviate off this too long, but I just want to say this to you. One of the things I love about the Bible is the Bible does not candy coat life. The Bible is very realistic. You know what? You think about it. You've got all kinds of problems talked about in the Bible. You've got busted relationships in the Bible. You've got people being ugly to one another in the Bible. You've got kings, and you've got murder, and you've got all kinds of problems. You've got immorality. You've got a picture when you read Scripture of what life was all about, and yet you see the way God gave wisdom and guidance in those matters. And so the hard questions, God can give wisdom when we face the hard questions. Now, we're almost done in our Bible study. In verse 7 of Proverbs chapter 1, it says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Number 7, the blank there, it begins with fearing the Lord. Now, it says it's the beginning of knowledge. The word beginning there, it's the start. Unless we fear the Lord, we'll never gain God's wisdom. Unless we have a fear of the Lord, we will never gain God's wisdom. And here's what it means to fear the Lord. It means to recognize God's character and respond by revering, trusting, worshiping, obeying, and serving Him. Someone says this, The Lord is God and I am not. You ever thought about this? The only reason we are saved and the only reason we're blessed here tonight, Stanley, we're fellowshipping, we're blessed. The only reason, though, is because God took the initiative. And He did something for me that I could not do for myself. Let me say, the epitome of humanism is to say that I did something that has created all this in my life. You know, the blessing that I have is all from me. It's what I've done. No. Think about it this way. You know, salvation could not have come to mankind. Mankind in and of himself would have been lost forever. But God, who is holy outside of us, took the initiative to come to us. Does that make sense? And so the Lord is the Lord and we are not. And so part of it is understanding that and having a reverence for Almighty God, the God of this universe. I used to have a Sunday school teacher that taught me, and he used to always use that phrase, "The Lord God of the universe loves you." In other words, he's making the point that he's not, it's not that I was so smart to find the Lord. The Lord found me, and the Lord was outside of me, and he came and initiated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So, we'll never have wisdom from God unless we begin with that. We have to begin with the fear of the Lord to recognize God's awesome character and to respond by revering, trusting, worshiping, obeying, and serving Him. So you get up every day of your life. Somebody said they got up and they said, "Oh, Lord, it's morning." Instead of, "Oh, it's morning, Lord." It needs to be, "Oh, it's morning, Lord." But you get up every day of your life and you say, "Lord, I'm yours today. Thank you for loving me. I'm yours today." Live your life through these hands, through these feet, through these eyes, through these lips. Do what you want to do in my life. And that is recognizing and revering the God creator of this universe, whom we trust and whom we worship and whom we obey and whom we serve, because He is God. That is the fear of the Lord. Now, number 8, fools belittle the wisdom of God. The scripture says, but fools despise or belittle. They make fun of the wisdom of God. We don't need that. The fool, the Bible says, has said in his heart, there is no God. And if you live life without the fact that there is a God, then you're acting like a fool and you are belittling the wisdom of God. So we're going to embark on a study about how to live life from God's point of view. Living life from God's point of view in the book of Proverbs. Now, next Sunday night, we're going to look at Solomon. Solomon, the author of Proverbs, also wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And Solomon went on a search. He went on a search for what was going to make him happy. Now, we already know the answer because we studied it tonight. True happiness only comes from living from God's perspective. Now, just because you already know that, you better come next week, okay? But I want you to know that what we're going to do is we're going to look at what Solomon, how Solomon searched for what was going to make him happy. And he tried all these things, and he wrote about it in the book of Ecclesiastes. And he basically said when he was chasing all these things, he says, like chasing the wind. You ever chase the wind? You'll never catch it. Say, hey, it's windy out there. Go bottle up some wind, put it in a jar. You can't do it. And that's the way it was for him, trying to find what was going to make him happy. Until we find our joy and happiness in Jesus Christ, we're going to be miserable, folks. We're going to be miserable. Because, see, the Lord made us, and he made the owner's manual. I've told y'all my story. Y'all got any Star Trek people here? Okay, we got some Trekkies here. Is that what y'all call? They're called, okay, Dave Wright's back there shaking his head. He's a big-time Trek guy. Hey, listen, I had the Starship Enterprise. I think I told y'all this story. But it's a good example of how you need to go by the directions. And in that thing, man, I was so excited. I opened that thing up, and man, there was all these parts in there. But I had seen it. I know what the Starship Enterprise looked like. So I started putting that thing together, and there's all this paperwork. And I said, man, I don't need that paperwork. Put that over there. And so I started clipping stuff together, and I got that glue out, that Mellner's glue. Was that what it was? The clear one? What is it? Not Elmer's, but the clear one that was for models. And, man, I started putting that stuff together, and that stuff is strong. It holds, okay? You can't go back and fix stuff. So anyway, I put that thing together, and I said, forget the paperwork. I finished it, but there I looked in the box, and there were all these parts. I mean, the thing kind of looked like the Starship Enterprise, but it wasn't complete. I missed it because I didn't go by the directions. Living life from God's point of view means you're going to study this to go by the directions. That means the directions in your relationships, the directions in your home, the directions in your finances, the directions in your friendships, the directions in your work. There's so much in the book of Proverbs. There's so much in the Bible. So anyway, I had that Starship Enterprise, and I put it together, and it was all messed up. It looked like the Enterprise, but it was not complete. I think the people and everything were locked outside. I couldn't get them back in. But anyway, so you know what I did, don't you? I took that thing to the ditch behind my house, and I blew it up with an M80. A big old firecracker thing, man. I said, if this thing's no good, I'm going to blow this thing to smithereens. And so me and some buddies went back there and we blew that thing up. Actually, that's the whole reason I bought the things. I wanted to blow it up anyway. So, but the point is, wisdom that God gives us are the directions. And the thing about it is, when you go by God's wisdom, you have the perspective of God. And instead of fighting off that, like Genghis Khan fought off that falcon, instead of fighting off that falcon, fighting off God, you realize, you know what? God's in control. God sees from another perspective. And how many of us have said, hindsight is 20/20? You look back and you see the hand of God moving in your life, but when you're in the middle of it, you don't. And that's why we need God's wisdom. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.